welcome to another episode of BeaverPod Life. And today I've got with us the Back in the Saddle Coaches, which is the new scheme that Beaver's just launched to try and help those that are over 5 years qualified enter into a group coaching forum and talk to each other about things that they've encountered and changes they want to make. Thank you for coming, everyone, today.
Hi.
Hello.
So, Hi, Lizzie.
We've got Kate Blakeman, who is a Beaver Council member, some of you will already know. She's a clinical assistant professor at Nottingham Uni and has spent 16 years in equine practice and is a mum of two. We've also got Gemma Dransfield, another Beaver Council member, who's in private thoroughbred practice and a mum of two. Claire Goodban, who some of you will have recognised emails from and seen in meetings, is our executive assistant here at Beaver. And she was previously an export queen at Rossdale's in Newmarket and worked in equine practices for a long time. And has witnessed the trials and tribulations of equine vets and nurses over a number of years. And then Sophie Eden is another Beaver Council member. She's an equine vet turned professional coach who has made a career in helping others find better ways to live and work and knows the tools and resources available, like a mastermind contestant. Coaching is her specialist subject. So all of you, I'd like to do a really quick fire round to try and show people what this scheme is intended to do. And Kate, if you'd like to go first, as you were there from the start of this idea, why did Beaver start the Back in the Saddle scheme?
Hi, Lucy. Beaver started the Back in the Saddle scheme to support our members, fundamentally. It follows on the back, I suppose, of the really successful new graduate leg up coaching scheme, which provides career-specific support to new graduate Beaver members. But we did recognise that career support shouldn't just stop when you stop becoming a new graduate, and that career development is a kind of lifelong thing. And there was potentially a lack of support or a market for supporting our members as they, you know, as they increase in years of graduation. So this scheme hopes to provide that. By providing solutions-focused coaching, and I'm really looking forward to its launch.
Excellent, thank you, Kate. And next, Gemma. So, who was it that might find this Back in the Saddle scheme useful? Which members do you think this is kind of going to help the most?
I think when we first started talking about this, when the original idea sort of came to light, we based it very much around probably our own experiences, which was coming back from, certainly from my own personal experiences, coming back from maternity leave. So that was where the idea started from. So it would definitely support our members that have had career breaks and have come back into practice for that. But then we started discussing around the subject, and actually it's not just geared up for those members at all, and it's anybody that may have had a career break for any sort of reason, either caring for someone, chronic illness, anybody that's had a break from practice and is keen to get back into clinical work. But then again, we also thought about a lot of our members that have actually, as Kate said, that have actually been in practice a long time. And we all know in our industry that there is a certain point in our careers that we kind of almost hit a brick wall and feel unsure of where we can go and how we can develop. So we want it basically to incorporate sort of all of those people and try and support as many people sort of in the that have been in practice a while, that actually might need just a little bit of help or guidance in thinking of ways that they can develop their career.
Fantastic. So it kind of could apply to anyone, essentially. And I guess that leads me to the next question for you, Claire. So, you know, when's the best time, I guess, for people to enter into a coaching scheme? I mean, presumably there's the obvious firefighting issue where things are, someone's struggling, but is there an opportunity for this to be kind of preemptive and kind of something that people could do before they get to that stage?
Yeah, I think ultimately that would be the ideal time to do it, when you're starting to feel a bit sort of, when you're losing your passion a bit more for it and it feels like a bit of a struggle getting to work each day and things, when it's just starting, that's the time to think, actually, I don't want to get to the point where I hate going to work each day, and every time my phone rings, I dread it. And, you know, you find yourself considering stepping away from practice even. We want to get you to consider coaching before you get to that stage. I think as well, it can be hard when you're in the thick of it and really struggling to keep going with your job. It can be hard to see the bigger picture and to actually be more open to taking on the coaching. It just all seems like a bit of a struggle. Everything you're doing is a struggle at that point. So if you get it before you're feeling like that, then obviously it can quite likely help you to steer away from that path, take a different path with it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And that's sort of when you've still got some energy, some fuel in the tank to be able to deal with
exactly.
things like that changes, you know, and investing that time and energy in yourself to think of a different direction perhaps, or a different way of managing life. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then Sophie, how can the Back and Saddle Scheme make a difference? So what sort of changes might people expect, or what kind of impact might they expect to feel from taking part?
Well, I suppose sort of one of the things that Claire was saying in that sort of when they're in the thick of it, Back in the Saddle Scheme is going to give people the space to actually take some time for themselves and figure out what the things they're finding really challenging and what the things they could do to overcome it. I think so few of us, when you're in clinical practice, you're just going from one thing to the next. It's constant firefighting, and very rarely do we really make time for ourselves to sit there and consider, actually, what are the things that I'm finding really difficult and what could I do about it? And the really nice thing about coaching is we're not going to sit here and tell you what to do, because that would actually be a bit ignorant of us. We don't really know your life situation, exactly how your practice works. But what we have as coaches are tools and questions and ways that you can consider areas of your life that you might not necessarily have reflected on, or parts of your career that you might not have thought about, and hopefully then come up with some ideas of how you can deal with them and how you can come, you know, how you can overcome some of those things. And I think within that group environment, you then also have a reminder of the fact that you're not alone in facing all of these challenges. And I think probably that coming away with solutions and also a bit of a community to support you with that are probably some of the biggest ways that it's going to make a difference with the Back in the Saddle. I think coaching in itself can be a really useful experience one-to-one, but I think the community aspect of Back in the Saddle is also going to be really helpful for anyone who takes part.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you're right, that kind of that feeling of being in something together and not being alone. And, you know, many people might have friends, colleagues, larger practices that they work in where they can lean on others. But, you know, there's equally numbers of our members that maybe are more isolated or don't have that sort of ability immediately in their environment to discuss this stuff openly with someone around them. So it's a really nice way, isn't it, to be able to access it online, different people. You know, all of us, I think, in this group have either experienced coaching ourselves or have gone through the coach training for this. So I'd like to ask you all, really, and I'll go around you individually, sort of what you took out of either your own coaching or the coach training that you've undertaken that you felt was really sort of powerful and really had a big positive impact on you. So Kate, would you like to start?
Yeah, I personally have benefited from receiving coaching, and I think that's why I'm so passionate about being able to open this up to many more people. So it's going to be provided as a free resource to Beaver members, which I think is an excellent opportunity for people to try it and engage with coaching and see how positive an impact it can have. So I was coached just before I went back to work after my second child. I probably, like many others, I didn't tell anyone I was undertaking coaching. Okay, this is, I did it kind of in secret, and I really wish I hadn't done, looking back. I don't know why I did that, but I did. But I now I'm shouting about the benefits of being coached, because irrespective of kind of what it helped me to deal with work, it's actually helped me in lots of aspects of my life. Lots of the tools and tips and tricks that I hadn't even considered were just there in my armory, and it's helped me in so many other ways. I would really encourage people to consider getting coached, giving it a try, and just experiencing some of the sort of positive benefits that I really think loads of people can get.
Yeah, and that certainly seems to be something people report. It's not this, you know, it might be aimed at career coaching, but actually there's a huge amount of personal growth that takes place. And I think Sophie already said, it might be even just allowing yourself that time and space to do these things, you know, but it sort of facilitates it and enables it to happen. And it gives you the opportunity, basically, doesn't it, to work on yourself, which is sometimes a rare occurrence in our profession.
I think that's a really important part of it for me as well, that I'd signed up for this coaching program and that was prioritized time. That was those set hours that were just focused on me, which actually when you're in, you've got a busy lifestyle, you've got other responsibilities, other demands, it's really quite difficult to prioritize. So actually just being able to say, no, these are my 2 hours that are mine. I'm not doing anything else apart. It felt very foreign to start off with, but it's actually a really, really lovely experience.
Yeah, feeds the soul. Gemma, what did you take away from either your personal coaching or your coach training?
So I've never had personal coaching myself. So this sort of training was the first exposure that I'd had to it. I wish I had. I wish I'd have known, certainly at different parts in my career, I wish I'd have known more about this. And if this would have been available to me, certainly the last 5 years, I would have definitely used it. And having gone through the training, where we ourselves were sort of getting coached as we were being trained to be coaches, I definitely got a lot out of it. And I think the things that stood out for me in a more retrospective way, having made decisions throughout my career that have always been linked to my personal circumstances at home, is that a big problem can be broken down into little goals. And I think that had someone pointed that out, I wouldn't have found all these things that I have found difficult quite as overwhelming. So that was one thing that I massively got out of the coaching process. And just to reiterate what Kate said, it's not just at work that I use this. It makes me more tolerant of other people, of other aspects of people. It makes me understand why people behave a certain way or react a certain way. That might be at work, that might be at home. It's definitely changed the way that I approach different aspects of work and home life. And the other thing I did a bit before going through this course, but certainly what we've talked about while we've been doing our training is sort of resources that are available to people. And, this is going to be primarily for ambulatory vets who spend a lot of time in cars. And there's a lot of other resources that you can listen to and you can use your time while you're in the car. And I've done a little bit of that with audiobooks and podcasts. And I think that I've definitely found that helpful. So hopefully we can provide people with that as well. So they're not only having to put the time aside to themselves that people should do for their own development, but also can use their time wisely while they're sat in a traffic jam as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. It's going to kind of percolate some really cool resources, isn't it, through this course, which then will help people continue their kind of learning and exploring this sort of subject, really, which is very valuable. And what you mentioned about it being outside your sort of your professional life, I think, is a really valid point. And I remember during some of the coach training, individuals mentioned how differently they'd been perceived by their spouse or their kids, or people outside of work in their normal day-to-day life had noticed differences in the person undergoing the coach training. And that's a really nice thought, isn't it? That it's something that kind of affects your whole person, not just, this isn't just about your vet person, as it were. So Claire, what do you find was the most sort of poignant thing that you took away from the coach training?
I mean, coach training for me, or any sort of coaching, is something I've never really even considered being involved in. I always just thought, who the hell wants to sit and listen to me jabber on about my problems, sort of thing. You can just get on and deal with it. Everyone's got their own stuff going on. But actually doing the training and things like that, it helped me realize that, you know, talking about my issues, it's opened me up a lot more compared to what I used to be. And listening to other people and the struggles that they're having and then ways that they have overcome it, it's helped me identify issues within myself that I didn't even realize was going on, and broadened my mind a lot more to ways that I can deal with it, both in personal and work life. It's just really sort of, I'm able to differentiate now if I'm having conflicts and things like that. I find myself being able to almost take a step back and identify what's causing them and how I can work through it. And if there's something that I'm personally doing as well, I just found it's made me much more open about life.
Yeah, it really sort of holds up a mirror, I think, doesn't it? Which sometimes people struggle to do on their own. This kind of guides that person through that process, I think, and it enables them to then help themselves. And like you say, Claire, you can then reuse that skill in other ways, can't you? And it really allows you to sort of start looking after yourself in a different way that hopefully benefits you and is much better for you. And certainly provides you with that kind of constructive assessment of yourself, doesn't it? So you can start to think about ways you want to do things differently and better. So Sophie, what would your sort of big kind of big bits be when you've had coaching or done your coach training, which you've done lots of, I gather? What were your sort of major turning points where you thought this is really powerful stuff?
I suppose for my, like, yeah, I've got two experiences of the being coached and then the coaching training. And when I was being coached, the reason I came to coaching was because I had a chronic illness and it was making it so difficult for me in practice that it got to the point that I had to be signed off work for an extended period of time because I couldn't juggle the two. I couldn't look after myself to a point that I was functional and well enough to work. And I got some coaching at that period in time. And I think, like, the self-awareness part for me was learning about myself, and so few of us actually take the time to look at how we're treating ourselves, how we're showing up in different environments, and also, like, how things can spiral, and just having some time to really consider what was going on for me and also how I wanted to show up was really helpful. And when I went back to work, I also had, like, some really tragic family circumstances right before I went back to work, and the way I was able to deal with them because of the coaching and work that I'd done was so different to, I think, how I dealt with them would have dealt with them beforehand, to the point that even after I'd been back at work for sort of a month or two, my practice manager commented on just how much of a difference I'd made in the time that I'd been working on myself, which was really, really nice to hear. And that was 2 years ago now, and I think of actually how much I've worked on myself since then, just from this catalyst of being coached, learning about myself, learning about others. Like Gemma said, there are so many resources that you can so easily get involved with. And at the time when I was being coached, I'd watched coaching for a while, and I really enjoy supporting people. And so I'd thought about training to become a qualified coach, but I'd wanted to stay in clinical practice. And it was only through circumstances that a friend told me about the job that was going at the University of Kate's at Nottingham, I'm at Surrey. And so it just fitted because it also gave me a chance to learn about some of the other aspects towards supporting people. It wasn't necessarily that I wanted to leave clinical practice, and I just wish that maybe, like Claire was saying, if I'd actually have started coaching before I'd got to a point that I had to be signed off work, just what could have been different and how much I could have thrived in clinical practice rather than struggling like I did. And so I think, yeah, that self-awareness piece has been huge for me. And then Kate mentioned priorities, and I think realizing there's a phrase in coaching that I sometimes find a bit annoying, but it's there's no such thing as not having enough time. It's just what you're making a priority, because we all have 24 hours in a day. Like, it's what you prioritize. Prioritizing sleep over doing a further qualification is probably a justifiable priority, but sometimes it's actually looking at what do we prioritize over looking after ourselves. And sometimes that can be an uncomfortable thing to look at, but it can be a really nice starting point in how can you prioritize yourself so that you can look after everyone else and be the best vet, mum, partner, person, whatever you are in your life, how you can do that.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really important take-home message there. And it's, you've hit on a lot of important points there, that, you know, whether you feel like you need to make a change and you need to do something differently, or whether you're just curious about what other things you might want to explore and do with yourself before the point of, you know, drama or crisis, I think that's possibly the thing that a lot of people say after they've had coaching, is that they wish they'd done it sooner. You know, they wish they'd explored this as just like you would any other new skill that you might be interested in learning. This is a really good skill, and the sort of value in it stretches far beyond your professional career and your life. You know, it's outside of that. It affects all of you and all of your persons. So, you know, it's really something that I've never heard anyone say they've regretted doing. I don't know about you guys. I certainly don't regret doing the coach training or having my own coaching.
I just want to say, yeah, absolutely, Lucy. Like, coaching and the tools that you can learn on the coaching program, I think we've got to think of them as skills that are so beneficial to us as individuals. I think as vets, we're very guilty about always focusing on developing our clinical or our practical skills. But this encompasses so many different aspects of, you know, career and, you know, day-to-day life. I think it's such a good thing for people to be able to develop.
And I think with that, Kate, people don't leave the veterinary profession because they don't know how to take x-rays or do a gastroscope. Our focus on clinical skills really needs to change, because actually it's these non-clinical skills that really help keep us in the profession and help us figure out how to make being an equine vet enjoyable and something we want to keep doing.
So we'd encourage everyone listening to think about it, you know, whether they feel that's something they need now or maybe are interested in considering for reasons other than having reached a crunch point. And so if you are keen to join us, sign up on the website and you'll hear back from Claire, and then join into the group and sign up for the 6 months monthly sessions online, and we'll all be able to see how this goes and enjoy it all together. Thank you very much for coming, all of you, and we'll see you hopefully in the first session.
Thanks, Lucy.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.